ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
Just my job.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Is this show getting more and more difficult for you to do?
That's gotta be it!
Jeff Lutz.
This isn't that hard.
There are so many great things to do with the human mouth. Why waste it on talking?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. It is a Thursday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz, and today the big fella, Anthony, replacing Jeff. Jeff can't be replaced, but Anthony's going to give it a shot. Max Power, producing, engineering the show, 869-1240, the phone number. And I had a little sneezing fit right as we were going on the air. I looked over at you and saw your concern. What was going through your mind?
Lord, don't let me have to do CPR.
From a sneezing fit, I hope. Is sneezing indicative of bigger trouble? You never know, I guess.
If you listen to the, what's that called? WHO? World Health Organization?
I don't.
Anything?
Not about sneezing. They've said that?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's on their list.
Wow. Well, every once in a while in my house, I get on a sneezing rampage. Like, it lasts for 10 minutes. And I don't know why. And it just happens. I'm not a sneezer, per se.
Okay.
But once in a while, it just strikes me. And I can't stop.
Can't help yourself, huh?
Nope.
Well, you know what? Maybe they should make, I don't know, I might ruffle some feathers. Maybe they should make sneezing an event in the Olympics or make it a contest.
Maybe so.
Just like they have hot dog eating contests and they call it a sport.
I'm pretty good at it. all right. We are off and running. The big fella, Anthony N. We've got a good show for you today. Jalen Thompson from the Kansas City Star will be our guest at 2:45. We will talk about the Royals as the post-All-Star break part of the schedule is set to begin tomorrow. I don't really want to call it the second half because these teams have played well more than 60% of their games already. So it's a little unfair to say the second half, but it is the post-All-Star portion of the schedule. And we'll get Jalen to talk about what they might be looking at as the trade deadline approaches, what they've already done. They added a bullpen arm already, so we'll get with Jalen on that. At 3:25, Adam Teicher, ESPN.com, beat writer for the Chiefs. He's been a guest on our show for many years, going back to my time on the morning show. Adam's been on the show countless times, and I read the other day on his Twitter that this is his last year covering the Chiefs. He's been doing it for a long time. And I've always respected Adam and his work, and it'll be fun to talk with him. So he's coming up at 3:25 today. Probably try to get him on a little early. And then at 3:40 or thereabouts, Zach Bush, the coach of the Wichita State Aftershocks team in the TBT, of course, that tournament beginning tomorrow around the country, Saturday here in Wichita with four games, including the Aftershocks at noon.
I have a problem with that.
You don't like them playing at noon?
No, I do not like them playing at noon. Basically, they're the host school, the feature school. They should be playing in the 7 p.m. game. How did that, whatever they call themselves, Al Lawrence, Bill Street, whatever.
The Mass Street.
Yeah, the Mass Street boys. How they get the feature game? Come on,
I don't know. That's a good question, and I would say this. A Saturday in July.
At noon.
When it's hot, wouldn't you just as soon get out of the heat and go inside and watch the shocks, the aftershocks? Do you think the crowd will suffer? Being that it's played at noon, I guess under most circumstances, I would agree with you, but everybody's off work. Saturday afternoon basketball is now the norm in college basketball. There are very few Saturday night games anymore. So I guess I'm throwing a little wrench into your contention.
But my thing is, yeah, they do play noon college basketball games, and the key word is college basketball games. We're dealing with summertime, and most people have plans summertime at noontime, and it doesn't consist of going to a basketball arena. And I get it, it's the aftershocks. But I would say, I would even go as far as say flipping with the Wildcats.
You know, play at 2:30 or whatever.
I mean, 2:30 would be more kosher as opposed to a noontime. I mean, who does?
I'm trying to agree with you.
Well, go ahead and do
it. I'm not there yet.
Be like Nike, just do it.
there's very little agreement on this show. You know that.
I know that, but if I can convert you, if I can be in my Baptist mode and convert you and lay hands on you.
How about this? I see your side.
All right,
is that good enough?
That's good enough.
I understand what you're saying. I hadn't even thought of it.
Now we need people to call in.
Well, maybe.
I need people to be on my side.
You like that, don't you?
I would love that.
I understand where you're coming from. I do. I get it. Me personally, if I was going to go to the game, and I'm not, I won't because I've got a League 42 event Saturday. Okay. But if I was going to go to the game, I'd kind of like to go at noon and be done and go out and have a beverage afterwards and maybe then an early dinner somewhere and kind of make a day of it.
Man, this
lemonade, isn't it?
It's the best beverage right here. I'm drinking all
that. It's a good lemonade.
This tastes like it's fresh squeezed.
Yeah, you know, that's what I do.
Man.
Yeah, it's good lemonade.
Lutz lemonade.
But you could also stay and watch K-State, hang out. Now, I think it's a different session at night, so you'd have to get another ticket. But you could go to the doubleheader, the noon 2:30 doubleheader, watch two games, go out, have a dinner, and make a day of it.
And see, I think, me personally, here's another reason I think it would be better if they played the later game.
You see my side of it.
I see your side. But here's why I think it'd be more advantageous to play the later game. I mean, yes, the K-State crowd, they're going to be there. I get that. But you're looking at now they're up in the ante because if we want to host the next round, we have to outsell and have a better attendance than the Houston region.
No, so, that hasn't been a problem in the past.
I mean, Wichita State fans, they're going to show up. Don't get me wrong, but I just think that a lot of people have.
Well, we'll see. We'll have Zach Bush on coming up later in the show, and we'll see what he thinks.
316-869-1240.
Did that raise any eyebrows with Zach Bush? I don't know.
No, you know, it doesn't raise. I mean, when you talk about raising eyebrows, I mean, we know Zach Bush. He's been doing what he's been doing. I also have a whole lot of questions because there's some history with the aftershocks. And I know they probably won't get answers, so I won't put them on. But I'll tell you off there.
Well, I can't wait to hear them.
All right.
Yeah, good. So last night, you know, there's not much happening in the world of sports. And thankfully, there was a WNBA game. And it was between Indiana and Dallas. Dallas has a terrible record. I did not see who won it. I watched a bunch of it, but I did not see the fourth quarter. You know who won it?
I actually believe the Dallas Wings pulled off.
Well, they were ahead for the whole game, but then Indiana really made a run and tied it, actually went ahead. So I'm not sure how that game finished up. But I watched a lot of it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, here I am watching the WNBA.
That's good for you.
Maybe the first time in my life that I've really made a point to sit down and watch a good portion of a WNBA game. So that's interesting to me. And why am I doing it? Why am I doing it?
Caitlin Clark was on last night.
Yeah. And that may seem like, why is that a good enough reason? By the way, Indiana lost that game, 101-93. Caitlin Clark, 24 points, 19 assists.
That means combined they put up 194
points. Yeah, they scored at will. And it was fun to watch. But Dallas is now 6-19. Indiana is 11-15. Would I have anything to do with a NBA game with two teams with that record? No. The simple answer is no.
I mean, bottom line is, if you want to be turned off of basketball, just watch Bronny James.
Well, now I don't know if I want to go there yet. I haven't watched him enough to.
Hey, I mean, the WNBA game, that game last night was probably more entertaining than watching Bronny James.
Well, maybe, but I wouldn't watch an NBA game that had two teams that were near the bottom of the league. But I'm watching the WNBA because of one reason. Because Caitlin Clark has vitalized, I won't say revitalized, because I don't know that the WNBA has ever been a vital part of the sports sector. But she's making it one.
Well, what I will say that I like about Caitlin Clark, outside of being on the court, is how she is handling the interviews and how she is not making it about herself. Now, let me put a disclaimer. I'm not saying Angel Reese is making it about herself, but I like how Caitlin Clark deflects and make it about the other players in the league that she has idolized growing up, including Diana Taurasi, who has been her biggest nemesis.
So bringing people to the WNBA is a big deal. Would you watch, are you more inclined to watch the WNBA now?
Well, honestly speaking, I've been inclined to watch.
You have watched it in the past.
Yes, I have watched it in the past.
Well, you're a rare person.
I know. I like being rare.
So, my point being, I watched a game last night between Dallas, which is in last place, and Indiana, which is in seventh place. Would I watch a game between New York and Connecticut, who are combined 39-10? I don't know that I would. And they're clearly the cream of the crop. Again, New York's 21-4, Connecticut 18-6. Would I watch a game between those two teams on a Wednesday night in my living room?
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to answer that for you. Yes, you would. I'm going to tell you why. Were you entertained by the two teams that was on the bottom and they put a total of 194 points? Was it entertaining?
Yes.
Well, then, yes, I believe you will watch two teams at the top of the league. Because now.
Well, they play each other on the 24th. Of August, New York and Connecticut. I got to presume that game will be televised somewhere. They have good players. But I have not been a W. I'm not going to lie. The summertime for me is not. I want to watch more basketball.
All right, let me ask you this question.
But with Caitlin Clark, maybe.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say WNBA is playing during the same time as a UFL game, United Football League. What you going to watch? That football team, that football game,
depends,
or the WNBA?
I won't watch the UFL no matter what. So it would depend on the WNBA game. I am saturated by sports, okay? I spent my life immersed in it, covering it. So it's got to be real for me to really be enthusiastically watching a game. Last night I was enthused watching that game because you know why? The gym was packed.
Yeah.
They showed shots of the crowd and so many of them, even in Dallas, this was a road game for Indiana. So many of them in Dallas were wearing Caitlin Clark shirts and signs and she's absolutely captured the attention of sports fans across the country. This is a rare thing now. This doesn't happen often.
Right. And I'm going to tell you where it all started. It started at the college level. And see, that's the beauty of it all, because now when you break down the college game itself, and a lot of people say, well, I can't even follow that because I don't know nobody. Everybody know who Dawn Staley is. Everybody know who Gina Auriemma is. Everybody know about UConn. Everybody know about University of South Carolina. Everybody know about you know, go back to the past. They got a court in Tennessee named after Pat Summitt, where the men's play.
Right.
Matter of fact, it was said that Pat Summitt was so good, she probably could have coached the men's team and they would have won a national tournament. But you go to the past and you bring up names like Nancy Lieberman, Rebecca Lobo. Listen to me rattling off these names from the past. Even more current, Maya Moore, who played for the Minnesota Lynx, ended her career abruptly to free a man from jail who she's now married to.
And all those players are great. All of them. Right. You're mentioning a who's who of women's basketball, and yet very few people watch.
I'm a rare person, remember?
For whatever reason, Caitlin Clark has captured the imagination of basketball fans and beyond, of just people. People enjoy watching her. They like watching her vision and her passing ability.
Right.
And the fact that she shoots three-pointers and she's from got the, charisma.
From the half-court logo.
And everything about her game is unique. All those other players, yes, they were fantastic. They helped put women's basketball somewhat on the map. On the map. Caitlin Clark's had it cover the map. She's the most popular athlete. She may be the most popular athlete in America right now.
I think it was going to be very interesting because they have the All-Star game coming up this Saturday on the 20th. It is the Team USA versus Team WNBA.
I can't wait to watch it.
I can't wait to watch it either. But even more importantly is going to be the storyline within. Of course, Caitlin, she had a way of deflecting that and saying it shouldn't just be about her and Angel, but it should be about everybody else. But her and Angel Reese are going to actually be on the same
And Angel
team
Reese
together.
Has contributed to this popularity
right.
by being the antithesis of Caitlin Clark.
Right.
She's the villain. In many people's eyes, but also a great player,
right?
A generational type of talent. They just happen to both come along at the same time, and I think it's a mistake and short-sighted to diminish Angel Reese's role in all this.
I agree with you.
She is also a big reason that women's basketball has taken off. It's like Bird and Magic.
Bird and Magic, right. I mean, when you stop and think about it, though, what Bird and Magic didn't have that Angel and Caitlin have is the big nemesis, the big elephant in the room called social media.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure if we had social media back in those days and had all these chat rooms, I can probably guarantee you it would be just as toxic then as it is now.
Sure. And Bird would have been the villain, even though a lot of people loved him. But Magic was the guy that everybody gravitated toward.
Right. He was the
happy-go-lucky,
right.
Quiet, friendly assassin. Bird was more stoic and pointed in the way he played.
And the biggest trash talk.
Now, I love Bird. I was a Celtics guy during that era. Not a Lakers guy.
I couldn't stand the Celtics.
But, well, there you go.
But the thing is, after hindsight is always 20/20. When you hear the stories about Bird from his contemporaries outside of Isaiah Thomas, because he, I don't know where he got that, if he was a, you know what he said. But there was a particular story, since we done brought this up. Larry Bird was talking trash, and Larry Bird could talk trash without being demeaning and derogatory.
But he could also be demeaning and derogatory.
But that's the thing. They said he wasn't like that. They said his trash talking was clean. He said, this is what I'm going to do, and you're going to come within a step of me, and I'm going to shoot a three-pointer right in your face. That's what he did to Magic. And then after he made the shot, he said, I don't even know why you came out here.
Right. that's Larry Bird.
And that's how the WNBA should market.
But we're still watching the personalities of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese develop. Angel Reese, not so much. Her personality's fully blown. We're seeing how Caitlin Clark's reacting to going to the WNBA, being pushed around early on in her WNBA career, players testing her. I think she's passed with flying colors. I couldn't be more impressed with her, and I can't wait to watch her career. I'm a big Caitlin Clark guy. And I hope the other teams are able to latch on to that, her popularity, and become more popular too. Like right. I just said, when New York plays Connecticut, clearly the two best teams. I hope those ratings are high too.
Right. And here's the thing, because, you know, I talk to people, they say, I don't watch this stuff. They say, who watches that? I forget who it was. Antonio Brown. He came out with some boneheaded stuff. We ain't going to mention that. But he says, he basically said, nobody watches it. Well, numbers don't lie. A year ago, when they had All-Star voting, the top vote getter was like, what, 90-something thousand votes? This year, fan voting increased not 10%, not 20%.
Right.
And you say 636%. So that would tell me, you could say, ain't nobody watching. But based on those numbers,
more eyeballs.
Somebody's watching because Caitlin got over 700,000 votes, and the lowest vote getter was Angel Reese at 300-something thousand.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about the Open Championship currently underway. About to wrap up the first round over at Royal Troon, although one of the guys right there at the top is still on the course. Or can they? Good grief, it's after 8 o'clock over there. Maybe they're still playing. We'll talk about the Open Championship next. The big fella Anthony in for Jeff today. This is the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Shane Lowry, the early leader, the first round leader, over at Royal Troon. I think they've suspended play with some golfers still out there, including Daniel Brown, who I know nothing about.
I don't know nothing about
through 13 holes, he's 4 under, so just a shot back. Jeff and his picks picked Shane Lowry yesterday.
You mean he got something right, huh?
Well, so far. I picked Xander Schauffele, who's 2 under, and those are really the only two guys. Brooks Koepka 1 under, picked him. I did. Scottie Scheffler 1 under. I also picked him. So while he has the leader, I have the better picks so far, very early in the process.
I might need to do FanDuel fantasy picks and have Jeff help me with my picks.
Jeff is no good at picks. Do you like golf?
I'll watch it. I can't watch it all the way through. Just like
I can watch some majors all the way through.
Just like I can't watch a baseball game all the way through, not at home. Now, you get me to the ballpark, it's a different ball game.
Every Cardinals game I tune into, I watch from the first pitch, usually until the last, unless they're getting blown out.
Of course, I do find myself when I'm at home watching the baseball game pretty much all the way through. Because I got Hulu Plus, so, you know, I get to get games. And it's unique because you can get both broadcasts. If you don't like one broadcast, go to the other team.
I got that.
So.
I got that. Major League Baseball's schedule for 2025 released today. And I was checking the Cardinals. And they're on the West Coast in San Diego and L.A., in early August, and there was a time in my life where that would have been a no-brainer. I'm going to go to San Diego, then I'm going to go to L.A., and I'm going to watch several games that the Cardinals are playing on the West Coast. At my age now, it still looks appealing, but I'm not sure I can pull it off.
You know what my dad used to say in his latter years? He said, I'm like the rooster. I don't crow like I used to.
There's a lot of truth to that. But it's sad, Anthony. You're not there yet.
Hey, but I feel that, though.
Yeah, but you could muster it up and go to the West Coast. And you don't think so?
If I did, I'd have to fly out there because I sure ain't going to drive.
I'm going to drive.
And I'm not even big on flying, but I think I'd have to fly because...
No, I love driving.
I mean, I would love to drive, too. I mean, my parents, we drove it. We drove to Las Vegas. We drove to Washington, D.C. We drove to Wyoming. I mean, we took trips and
there's nothing like embarking on a road trip.
Right.
Now,
I just don't know.
Four or five hours in, it starts to get, what in the hell? I get it.
Yeah.
But you can get through that and enjoy the drive.
Right.
With all the modern amenities now in vehicles, you can listen to podcasts, music, basically anything you want. You can watch things. Your passengers can. I wouldn't recommend that
for the driver. No.
but it's like being at home in many ways. The seats are comfortable. The driving is where it's at.
I would need a driver's seat that has a massaging element in it.
They make those.
Now, I don't know if that'd be a good thing for a driver either, because that massage gets the feeling too good and the temperature.
No, I hear you. But the driving isn't even daunting to me. It's that being gone that long with our dog. First of all, I looked over here. She's not down here. She's upstairs today with my wife, who's working from home. It would be tough to leave our dog for that long. And then just navigating a trip like that.
Get a kennel and take the dog.
Southern California. I did it in 2017. And drove, and it went well, but it's no picnic driving in that state.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
But man, I have a connection that I know I could get tickets to the San Diego series. I've wanted to do it for several years, and just haven't pulled it off. And maybe next year's the year.
Well, I tell you, if you got connections and if you can't make it, give me the tickets. That'd be like around, let me see. It'd be after my birthday, but it'd be a...
So you actually would go.
A belated birthday gift for me.
So you would go to Southern California?
I would go. I would go.
All right. Well, there you go.
Put that on the agenda for next year.
Well, if you go, I'll go.
Okay.
When's the last time you were in California? Mine was 2017.
Mine's would have been, my daughter, it was back in the 90s, because we had a family reunion in Prim, Nevada, which is like dab smack on the California-Nevada line. So daddy said, y'all want to go to California? So we left out of Whiskey Peaks Resort Hotel.
Well, does that even count? But yes, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so we was in the state of California.
Okay.
It counts.
All right, I'll count it. I'll give it to you. I was just sitting here thinking. I retired from the Wichita Eagle in 2017, late April.
Retired?
You don't from look, the Wichita Eagle.
You don't look that old to retire.
Well, I was 62. I left to devote my time to League 42. And I'm trying to think. I've been to Kansas City, Missouri a few times. I'm not sure I've been anywhere else out of the state since 2017. Isn't that something?
That's something.
No, I've been to Colorado. Maybe. No, I think I was in Colorado before that. I don't think... No, I was in Nebraska to see the Eagles.
Okay. Nebraska.
Now, that might be it.
Well,
I used to go all over the place, and now I'm a homebody.
Well, I wish I could say that, but I know... Even within the past couple of years, I've been to Oklahoma a few times, went to Las Vegas for our honeymoon back in 2022.
Wow.
Went to...
Wait a minute. You got married? Give me more information.
Yeah, I got married October 2022. We went to Las Vegas, stayed there.
Well, congratulations.
Stayed there on Fremont Experience. Oh, that's an experience too.
Did you see him knock down the Frontier Hotel? Did you see the video of that?
I didn't even get to see that. I wasn't even aware of that, so you told me something.
Well, all these things come up on Twitter, X. I'm going to call it Twitter.
Right.
So they always have these videos of these. And the Frontier Hotel is a legendary hotel in Las Vegas. But every few years, they tear down a hotel. Now, this year, they're not only tearing down the Frontier, which already happened, the Mirage is going to be taken down.
Oh.
And I remember when the Mirage was the place in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's coming down. It's amazing to me how that stuff happens.
Right.
The Mirage was a state-of-the-art, beautiful hotel. I stayed there once, and it was unbelievable. And now they're, apparently it's outgrown its usefulness.
Well, you got, like, the Stratosphere. Have you ever been up in there?
I have not. I haven't been to Vegas for even longer.
Gotcha.
So my last trip to Vegas was 2005.
Man, the Stratosphere, I believe that's one of the tallest buildings in America now. Probably in the world.
I feel like I've been everywhere I'm going to be, for the most part. And I was fortunate enough to visit so many different states and cities due to my job, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have that longing to travel a whole lot.
Right.
But it is appealing to think about sitting in the ballpark in San Diego next July when it's 100 million degrees here, and it'll be significantly cooler in that in San Diego, and watching the Cardinals. We'll see. We'll see if I do it. I don't usually do exciting, fun things anymore, but maybe I'll pull it off.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's on my bucket list, and I hope I get to do it soon before they decide whatever they're going to do. I want to sit in Kauffman Stadium and enjoy a ball game.
Well, it's 3 hours from here.
Right. I haven't done that yet, but I've seen the stadium, but I want to sit
inside.
Well,
this is one that I'm going to say, make it happen. Get online, get tickets, and go up and watch a couple games in Kansas City. Hang out in the plaza, go to dinner, stay for at least 2 days, 2 nights, watch at least 2 games, and enjoy the experience.
I'm going to have to do that.
I'm going to find the games for you to go to.
Well, I'm about to have the financial backing. I just went back to work a couple of weeks ago.
You got so much money. It's crazy.
I hear my wife says the same thing, and I'd be like, "Well, y'all get these misconceptions from? That's how rumors get started."
They open their next part of the schedule. They actually have a 6-game homestand starting tomorrow night against the White Sox, then the Diamondbacks. Then they go, they have the Cubs. So a 9-game homestand through the 28th of July at Kauffman Stadium. Here's your chance. Then Friday, August 9th, Saturday, August 10th, they are at home against the Cardinals. You could go up for that series.
Well, I tell you what, anybody listening, my birthday tomorrow, if y'all want to cash at me.
Oh, my gosh. Sound like Jeff. Here is Jalen Thompson, who was nowhere near anything in 1974. Jalen, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm
awesome. What year were you born?
1995.
Oh, my goodness. They would have considered me an old man then. That's how old I am. Let's talk about the Royals. They had certainly a better-than-anticipated pre-All-Star break record. It's been a little bit hit and miss of late, but they're still in a good position to at least get into the postseason, still within several games of the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Central. They have a soft landing to restart against the Chicago White Sox starting tomorrow night at Kauffman Stadium. What do you think the Royals are right now?
I think the Royals are right in the thick of things, like you mentioned before. When you look at this team, no one thought that they were going to be at 52 wins at the All-Star break. They won 56 games last year. So to really look at it from a 1,000-feet perspective, they're in a really good place to try to push for what they want, which is a postseason berth. The thing that's going to have to happen is they're going to have to continue to get good pitching from guys like Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, Michael Walker, Brady Singer, Alex Marsh. And they also have to get some offense. It's been hard to come by this year. We've seen it. If it's not named Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, or Vinny Pasquantino, the lineup really hasn't produced like it needs to produce. So I think that's where it's going to have to be. If Rubber is going to meet the road and the road to make the playoffs after 9 years, pretty much, they got to get it done now.
Yeah, this is Anthony with the Bob and Jeff Show. I'm looking at the pitching matchup. We have Chris Flexen for the Chicago White Sox comes in with a 2-8 record, 4.82 ERA, going up against Michael Wacha, 6-6, 3.83 ERA. Now, one of my big things about the Royals is they have to win these games, win these series that are winnable, and steal some away from some that might not be winnable. But how do you break down tomorrow night's pitching matchup?
Hey, Anthony, I think that the Royals have to really lean on that veteran presence. You mentioned it. You said Michael Wacha is going to be out there and he's going to get a chance to pitch. He knows how to pitch in this back half of a season. You know, he's been there before. And I think it's a good veteran just to have to lean on. When you're coming off of an all-star break, you might be a little rested, but, you know, you haven't swung a bat in a couple of days. You haven't thrown a ball really in a couple of days. He knows how to go out there, deal with that kind of adversity of just coming and getting back into it and really putting you on a good footing. So I think that that will be key for him. And he's facing the White Sox. The White Sox have not had a good season so far, but they're still formidable. They're still an American League Central team that you have to keep an eye out on. And they're wanting to come in here and they want to beat their rivals in the Royals. So it's going to be a good matchup for sure.
Talking with Jalen Thompson from the Kansas City Star, the Royals begin the second half of the season tomorrow at the K against the Chicago White Sox, followed then at home by Arizona and the Cubs. So right now the Royals have three players with 60 or more RBIs. They had four All-Stars. This has been a kind of a dream season for Kansas City. They acquired some bullpen help right before the All-Star break, getting Hunter Harvey from the Washington Nationals, kind of getting the first strike before the trade deadline. What else do they need to do? What do they still need? Another bullpen arm? Could they fortify their rotation? An outfield bat? Those are all things that maybe come to mind.
Yeah, and with MJ Melendez going on the injury list, that really causes the team to probably need to think about, do they want to go out there and be more aggressive and adding an outfielder that can add that depth to the lineup? Because we don't know how long MJ might be out with his injury. You also got to look at the rest of the lineup as well. You've seen Michael Garcia bounce from third base. He's played second sometimes. He's led off. He's batted seventh in the order. They have a leadoff hitter that can really be there and help get on base for the likes of, like you said, Bobby Witt Jr., Benny Fasmatino, Salvador Perez, that have those 60 RBIs. So maybe they might look to see if they want to add there, find someone that can lead off. Maybe they want to add another bullpen arm. You know, getting one in Hunter Harvey is nice, but you're going to need someone else to kind of help fortify things down there, because when you look at the entire group as a whole, you really don't have anyone that can strike someone out when you need it. You have guys that can get out relying on contact, but when you're playing these close games and you're trying to fight for a playoff spot, sometimes contact is not what you want. You want 1, 2, 3 strikeout, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and we'll see you next day. And the Royals really don't have that. Maybe Hunter Harvey can be that. He has electric stuff, but they might need something else to go alongside that.
Right now, the Royals 2 games out of the wild card chase. Anthony?
Yeah, more questions. As I'm looking at some of the rankings here, looking at the White Sox, they are a 220 batting average team, which ranks 29th. The Royals, 247, which ranks 11th. On base percentage, .282 for the Sox at coming in at 30th. The Royals at .306 at 20th. Just overall, how much do rankings really, or how much do these stats really mean in the grand scheme of things when it comes to Chicago White Sox versus the Kansas City Royals? We know that the White Sox have a terrible record.
They're terrible. They're
right.
Awful.
In my Charles Barkley voice, they're just terrible. But does it mean anything when it comes down to this series? Because even when you look at the home runs, the White Sox, 85, 28, the Royals 101-17. So
it means the Royals better sweep them, right?
Which means it looks like the Royals could just break out the brooms. But just tell me what to expect from this series.
When you look at this series with the White Sox, you have to keep in mind that they know the Royals very well, and the Royals conversely know them very well. They play so many times throughout the year. So when you look at the numbers between both sides, yes, the White Sox has not had a good season by their own estimation, but they're still major league hitters. They still know how to come in here to Kauffman Stadium and really compete. And if the Royals aren't careful, they could maybe lose a game or maybe two in the series. And that's not how you want to start off the second half of 2024. You really look at what the White Sox have. They have Luis Robert. He's back. They have guys like Tommy Pham. They have good pitching. We've seen Garrett Crochet in the All-Star game. You know, he can do. They have Eric Fetty, who's really been revamping this year as a starting pitcher. So they have a couple of pieces. And like I said, they know the Royals. So you can't just come in there and think, oh, we're going to just sweep and that's all we can do. They got the Royals will have to fight these games this weekend against
I'm going
to
intervene here because that's what I do. If they don't sweep the White Sox, they're in trouble. And especially since they don't face Fetty or Crochet this weekend. They're off the hook. So, listen, I call it like I see it. The White Sox are horrible. And they're not throwing their two guys against the Royals. And sorry, Jalen, that's kind of where I come from. You're in agreement, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I understand. I mean, all I can do is just go to the game. I'll let you say that. But, you know, it's going to be a good series.
No, it's not. But, I love you. You know I love you. Let's talk about this division. Cleveland currently 4.5 games up on Minnesota. Cleveland hit a bump on the road a little bit. The Twins have been a little erratic, although when they get hot, they're a very dangerous team. The Royals are 7 games over 500. These are obviously teams that are going to try to buy at the deadline. Winning the division is what all of these teams are after. That's a lot of fun because we haven't had that in the American League Central all that much of late. It's great to see 3 teams that are going to try to outdo each other in the final 65-70 games of the season.
Yeah, and if you go back to earlier this year, before the season started, what was the one thing that everybody was talking about? Well, the American League Central is the weakest one, and they might not have anyone reach 80 wins, and you just didn't know what you were going to expect. And now you have 3 teams that are truly competing for a playoff spot and are in a great position to potentially get that. And I think it just goes to the talent that's in the division. And like you said, the Royals have played well against some of these teams. Like, they play well against the Guardians. They still struggle a little bit with the Twins. And I think that's just given that it's the pitching that the Twins have. And I don't know what really makes it difficult against them. But, the Royals, if they want to win, if they want to make it to where they want to go in the postseason, they have to get through the Guardians and the Twins. There's no way around it. The guys in the clubhouse know that. They've said that. They know that that is going to be the ticket to get there. And, you know, I also caution them to not look too far away from the wild card as well because the Boston Red Sox are right there. Houston Astros are right there. So it's going to be pretty good these next upcoming weeks. So it might be a little bit of an arms race to see who's going to add it, who's going to really take that step forward at the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. The home stretch begins tomorrow night across Major League Baseball. For the Royals, they have the very dangerous Chicago White Sox visiting Kauffman Stadium. How's that? Jalen, it's always a pleasure. We love having you on. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Can't wait to talk to you again.
All right, Jalen Thompson, one of the nicest guys I know. You're one of the nicest guys I know.
Thank you.
The White Sox are just an awful team. And the Cardinals lost 2 of 3 to them earlier this season. They had to face Fetty and Crochet. The Royals don't. And, it's so much about pitching and who you're going to face. Certainly the White Sox on a given day when those two guys are pitching could be dangerous. Not so much this weekend.
So that's how they got barely 27 wins, right?
The Royals better sweep this series. You can't afford losses to the bad teams when you're trying to get to the places that the Royals are trying to get to. That makes sense?
I have a promotion. Royal sweep, everybody go to Walmart and get a free broom.
There you go. You going to buy them? You going to call Walmart and...
No, they had to feed it on them.
All right, there you go. Hour number one in the books. We got an action-packed hour number two. Adam Teicher, ESPN.com, will join us at 3:20, 3:25, somewhere in there, to talk about the Chiefs. Zach Bush, the coach of the Aftershocks, will be our guest in our final segment. Back in a moment, the big fella Anthony is in today for Jeff. This is the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.